The following shiur is being recorded for TorahDownloads.com, a project of the Yehuda Mann Foundation, Le'ilui Nishmas Yehuda Aryeh ben Yoshua Yakir.
We were speaking about the Masorah of Torah Sheval Peh. We spoke about Bez Nagadol. We mentioned the Gemara and the Chesimus HaGemara, and why we can't argue. We mentioned two shitas. There is a there are two specific points I would like to go over a bit in detail, I guess for information's sake, because it is an important piece of the puzzle. And that is as follows. We're very comfortable with Bez Nagadol. Bez Nagadol sits, and they either tell us what the Masorah was, and they then tell us that they either use some sort of recollection of what the Masorah was, or they use the Yigim Midas Shatar Nidreshes Behem, and fine, and that's how it works. Or they will make Takanis and Xeris, and that's also fine. This question is, our whole Gemara is full of drashes. Chazal are constantly sitting and darshaning all sorts of halachas. Almost every machlokas is somehow totally with a drash or something. So we really want to know, could the Chazal darshan? Could the Chazal darshan psukim even though they were not Bez Nagadol? And we said that the final compilation of the Mesoris of the Gemara was had a din of Bez Nagadol according to some shittas, and that's fine. But the individual Tanoim and Amoraim are arguing in all sorts of things, and it appears to us that they're using Yud Gimel Midos. Can they? And if yes, could we use Yud Gimel Midos if we know how to use it? So this is a big inyan. It's a two major places in the Rishonim that seems to be machlokas. It's unfortunately hazy a bit, and I'll try to just bring the information down. The first one is a big machlokas in Sefer Mitzvahs of the Rambam. The Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs has shrushim before. He has nine shrushim where he deals with explaining which mitzvahs were included and which mitzvahs were not included, how he got to the count of 613, these specific mitzvahs. The second shorus is She'en royal limnos kol mashu lemeidim ba'achas lashas emiris shatar neshben om ribui. He says, I will not count as one entire mitzvah a mitzvah that's learned from a drasha. And why? So he says that he sort of explains that sometimes not everything that Chazal came up with in the 13 meters will we say that this was given to Moshe B'Sinai. And we're not sure that everything that comes on 13 meters from 13 meters is the Rabbanan. Sometimes it's Mekubal from Moshe B'Sinai, and we also are masmicha to Yud Gimel Midas. Sometimes it's a branch of the rices, and therefore we're not sure. So the Rambam is very, very not clear what he means exactly. I would assume the simplest explanation is as follows, that learning from Yud Gimel Midas itself can be one of many things, and therefore it's not clear to us that it is in fact a Doraisa. It can be an Asmachta, it can be just a branch of an existing mitzvah, and so on. That would seem to be the flow of the Rambam. The Ramban, who has a Ha'aris and Hagos on it, argues on the Rambam, and I guess he wants to say is that no, they are all derises if they're learned from Yud Gimel Midas, or just about almost every one of them. That is seems to be Machlokas Rambam and Ramban. Very not clear if the Rambam is different or not. If you look at the Lashon, you'll see the Lashon is kind of vague, and exactly to pin down what he means is difficult. But it's accepted kind of shorthand as an Achlokas Rambam Ramban, if Yud Gimel Midas are things that goes out the righteous or not. There's a famous Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Ishus where he says that Kedusha Kesef is Drabanan because it's learned. I'm sorry, he says it's Divrei Sofrim, and there's a lot of debate about what Divrei Sofrim means, but that's the Rambam Ramban sheet, the way it's understood and accepted. There's another Mar Mokum that's very kedai to bear in mind. It's a Rashi and a Tosfos in Sukkah. It's on Daf Lamed Aleph, and Rashi says you cannot learn any drushes on your own. The only drushes you can have is something you got from your Rebbe, which would except for a Kal Vachomer, which is a svara, it's a simple logical svara. Now, does Rashi mean to say it had to come from Sinai Mamish, or Sanhedrin could use it, but that Moroyim couldn't be done me'atzmo? Not clear. Tosfos argues, and he says you can be done atzmo, and it tells us it's mashma quite clearly that Amoroyim and Tanoim could use midos themselves. They did not have to have the specific drasha handed down in Sinai. So we have two marmakomos in Rishon that are very, very significant. There's Machlokas Rambam Ramban in Sefer Mitzvahs, Shorish Beis, and there is Rashi and Tosfos in there's Rashi and Tosfos in Sukkah about using Yud Gimel Midas on your own, or do you simply have to repeat what you heard from your Rebbe and so on. I want to skip many generations. This type of thing was not relevant for many generations, but let's say 150 years ago, this became an explosive topic in Klal Yisrael. The Maskilim came along with the following point. They said Torah Shebaal Peh was made by the rabbis, and they used the Yud Gimel Midas are obviously very, very light in terms of how well they explained the Psukim. So basically they took their own ideas and Svaris and sort of padded it in with Yud Gimel Midas, and feel free to change it, kind of. In other words, at that time the big argument was not against Torah Shebaksav. Torah Shebaksav was considered Min HaShemayim and hallowed, and nobody had any problems with it. Torah Shebaal Peh was the big red flag that kind of everyone charged at, and the basic premise was Yud Gimel Midas themselves were invented by Hillel, and since he's the first person on record to use it, and it was a nice way of kind of covering up what they implemented and what they really legislated, and to sort of pad it into the Torah and so on. That was the Maskilim's stance, I would say. There were three responses to it, three very different responses. The Malbim wrote, his comments were written on in the beginning of his Pirush on Vayikra, and he says that the Yud Gimel Midas are logical, impeccable ways of darshaning. There are 613 klolim of diktuk that knowing them will completely illuminate what Chazal darshaned, and he lists them. They are very sensible klolim. They make a lot of sense. They are really, really brilliant. And he explains all of the medrashim, the halachic medrashim on the Torah using those klolim. The halachic medrashim on the Torah are the following. There's Mechilta on Shmos. There is Torah's Karnim or Safran by Yikra and Sifriyam by Midvan Dvarim. A lot of the drushes you find in the Gemara are found in these midrashim. They're only dealing with halacha, basically, and they're all kind of, this is what rabbis did, this is lamayit this. That's the nature of it, if you've never seen it. It's printed together with the Malbim, and the Malbim on the Torah in Vayikra, by Midbar Dvarim, and Parshas Shmos is a pirush on that rather than on the Chumash per se. It's a pirush on Torah Shebaal Peh explaining how they derived it from Psukim. It is magnificent, brilliant. It really, really is extraordinary. Things that are baffling when you see it in the Gemara, the Malbim is extraordinary. That's the essence of it. But at any rate, his point was basically that the Chazal used Yud Gimel Midos and all sorts of logical, not only Yud Gimel Midos, but a lot of things the Gemara says have le michtav this le matzin without a yud, with enksiv and so on. Every time Chazal used some sort of textual analysis, it's built on very, very strong logical foundations. And they were able and allowed to use it to divine halacha from it. That is what the Malbim says, and he lists those kolam, and that's how he explains all of those kohanim and so on and so forth. The opposite was a person named Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi. Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi lived at the turn of the last century. Like from the mid 1800s to 1900 and something and change. He was a Hungarian gadol who became involved, I guess, in Germany, in these places. He became involved with the maskilim, involved meaning he made it his business to fight them. Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi was a phenomenal genius. He the knowledge and his ability to play with information is just mind-boggling. He wrote five or six volumes, I don't remember offhand, called Doros HaRishonim. It's a history work, quote unquote. Most of it dealing with Bayis Sheni. The problem with it is as follows: if before you run off to get your set. It is written quite out of order. In other words, he deals with topics and issues, so he took on topics that he felt Maskilim had been terribly wrong about, and so it doesn't start from the beginning and end at the end. It's all over the place. So if your ideas in history are not great, then this is only going to confuse you further. He also deals with topics, so he will quote Gretz. And Gretz said that Rabbi Yeshua was lived at this time, did this, or whatever it is. And then he will proceed to bring 25, 30 places in Shas that disprove it. I mean, mind-boggling amount of information at his command. I remember one of the first times I was looking through some of it, I had been learning a Mishnah Zvachim, and he quotes it as a riot or something. Had I chanted 1,000 times, I wouldn't have chapped. In other words, he took out some very anti-fact from it, but he had it as command. It is stunning. He also read Josephus in his original Greek, and he did something very, very smart. I mean, he writes it in Greek, and he'll quote it in Greek and then explain it. He also shows you that since Josephus was a very political person, I mean, he was Jewish, he worked for the Romans, he lived in Rome at some point, he didn't want to be branded a traitor. So in different works of Josephus, you get different messages, kind of like a modern-day politician. By comparing the different things that he writes and showing you where he obviously was playing for the audience, he's able to get at the truth. So he's really, really a stunning, stunning work. But he writes extremely, extremely deprecating of anyone that stood in his way, including Rashi, including the Malbim. He writes very, very sharp lashonos against the Malbim and very cynical lashonos. Basically, his point is as follows, and his point that he's trying to make is an extreme point, but he does have some magnificent proofs, but at the end of the day, I don't think that that's his point. He said Yud Gimel Midos for Tanoim HaMoraim was meaningless. It simply was a way of a mnemonic device to remember stuff. That's all it was. Nothing more, nothing less. which is astounding, because that means that the big part of our Shas is
memory
games. Yeah, it's like sort of to polish up. It's like sometimes when you read a modern day psak of an Israeli secular judge, he will brush it up with a few chazals and a few, you know, psukim and maybe a quote from Bialik or two, just to give it sort of a Jewish flavor. But he has two very powerful, he has many rayas. The muscle. There's a huge sugi in Shabbos, about two blot long. Where do we learn Tumas Avodah Zarah from? Tumas Avodah Zarah is Rabbanan. There is no ifs, ands, and buts about it. And yet the Gemara is looking at Dasan from a Pasuk. And Psukim, and back, and forth, and can we learn from here, can we learn from there, and so on and so forth. So Rabbi Avigdor says, well, what are you going to say over here? And he has another sugi or two like that, where the Gemara will go for a longer Rikos on something that's clearly Rabbanan L'choladei, it's not as Shaili. But he writes very, very sharp. So his point is, his sheet is the other extreme, that all of Torah is a Mesoras. The arguments were about, you know, which is the valid Mesorah, and the Yud Gimel Midas. No one was allowed to doubt Yud Gimel Midas. Therefore, they were all wrong, and so on and so forth. That's, like, what I would say, extreme. The Rosh Hashanah Paul Hirsch has a... He's dealing with a different issue, but the way he explains it, given me, this seems to be a very plausible middle ground, and it's something which really is Miyash as Adaf a lot better. Rishonim Hirsch, you'll find it. So Doros Rishonim, this is very much in the beginning of his first safe, I think, what I quoted to you. For those of you who really do feel that they would like to look into these things and so on, somebody in Eretz Yisrael put out he redid the Doros Hashanah. You can probably still get it. It gets republished every so often. They've also put out a halachic work of his, not on halacha, but on Pilpul, Batim Levadim, on Shoshmaitzit Ibinyanim. Somebody wrote a sefer called Vayar Menucha, where he took basically Yitzchak Levi's works, most important pieces, put them in chronological order. A little more structured, and it's a little bit easier. It's only two volumes, and with an index, it's kind of a little more user-friendly of sorts. The Rav Shamsa Fol Hirsch is to be found in the collected writings. Volume 5 is the one that deals with a lot of these issues. Now, if you thought that Rav Shamsa Fol Hirsch was a kind of poetic, seeing only the beauty and the Bria and so on and so forth, have a look at that, because this is where he's very, very, very strong, strident,